Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Welcome, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Let's invite the Lord to be with us, to give us understanding, and give us His grace today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much, Lord, for what you've accomplished for us. Even from the foundation of the world, you know, you called us to be yours, and you gave us the grace, you gave us the faith, you gave us the repentance, you gave us our Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift, we know, will not be in vain to us. We just give thanks unto you, Lord, that we have His ears and we have His mind to receive these things. You made an exchange, Lord, a reconciliation, an exchange, and you've given us Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, we thank you for His grace in us to receive these things and to share these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, brethren, I'm going to share with you a little bit on the fall of America. I think it was 2002 and 2003, I did some tours across America, sharing concerning different things. One of them was the fall of America. I had, at one time, when I was traveling with the Prophecy Club, I shared my revelation concerning, a little bit of my revelation concerning the fall of America with Stan. And he really didn't believe me. Matter of fact, after we'd made a couple of tours, conference, he had decided, I think, quite frankly, that because of my revelation that I'd given to him, he probably wasn't going to make opportunity for me to speak anymore. And I figured this out. But God had another plan. In the fall of 2003, Stan's son dreamed that I had called his dad with, quote, a new revelation from God on the judgment of America, spoken of by Dimitri Dudeman. And Stan called me and gave this to me. Then, in May of 2004, Stan had a dream. He went to dig up a dark suit that he had buried. That was me, folks. He had decided, I ain't going to use this guy anymore. You know, he didn't care for my revelation concerning of America. So God was speaking to him and his son here concerning this, you see. He went to dig up this dark suit that he had buried, and when he dusted it off, the Lord spoke to him and said, that is David Eales' suit. And Stan said that this was the first time a speaker's name was given to him in a dream, and that the Lord was impressing him that he meant for him to make opportunity for me to speak again. So as you can see, you know, he had one plan, but God had another plan. And after this, I asked the Lord to give me a dream or a vision to confirm this, if this was really his direction. And after going to bed, I received either a dream or a vision. I don't remember. It was kind of a semi-awake state that I received it. And I saw that I was on the East Coast by the Atlantic Ocean with my third child, Nathan. And he had decided to go for an afternoon swim in the Gulf of Mexico and then to the Pacific Ocean. So basically he went from Atlantic to the Gulf to the Pacific, you know, all the way across, you know. And wherever he swam, there was a pipeline leading from the water to the hotels that were inland. And after that, he was back with me, just like it had been a walk across the street. Of course, the Lord showed me that because his movements were so fast across the nation that it represented jet travel, which is what I was doing, flying from city to city, fly to a city, preach, fly out the next day and preach again the next night, fly out. It was like that, just very fast across the country. And since it was my third child, the Lord impressed me that this meant my third fruit, which was the third tour that I did with them. So, and the hotel rooms where the water was being, you know, pumped into was, of course, the hotel conference rooms where we had these meetings. And the water, of course, was coming from the oceans, which represent the peoples, lands, and tongues that Revelation says. So basically, we had a confirmation here. Not only that, after I got this, I realized that I had this dream before, a few months before, but didn't know what it meant and just set it on the shelf. This time, I knew exactly what it meant. And when I prayed to God to find out what to share on, well, the Lord told me the fall of America and the rise of the saints, very clearly. And at that time is when I remembered Sean's revelation, a new revelation from God on the judgment of America, spoken by Dimitri Dudeman. So at that time I was tired. I have to tell you, I was running day and night. I was very, very tired, and I just went to the Lord. You know, when I found out He wanted me to do this tour, I just went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you see what you've given me so far, and to add this on top of it is just too much unless you're going to strengthen me. I'm asking you, Lord, to give me supernatural strength. Well, I tell you what, I think it was about 2 o'clock in the morning that the Lord came to me. And I don't know whether it was the Lord or an angel, but I do know that I woke wide awake at 2 o'clock and felt this being in the room. Couldn't get my eyes open, but it was like I could see it in the spirit. He walked across, sat down on my bed next to me, felt the bed even compress right next to my body. And before I could say anything, I felt this waves of the glory of God being washing over me, just washing up and down. It was so upbuilding, you know. It was so edifying, you know. It was so strengthening, you know. I called out the Lord, Lord, what is this, you know? and He reminded me of my prayer the day before. I said, what is this, Lord? And He reminded me of my prayer the night before, excuse me. And after it was over, it was over, and I didn't sleep the rest of the night, but in the morning I was very strengthened. As a matter of fact, during this, I saw a vision of my body, and my body was just like buffing up, you know. I mean, my limbs were getting strengthened and so on and so forth. I could just see myself, you know. It was an amazing experience. God can give you supernatural strength, and He did it with me at that time, and in fact, I need it again right now, so... when I did eventually share this revelation with Stan in the Prophecy Club, Stan said it was the greatest end time revelation he'd ever heard. So evidently, you know, God prepared his heart to receive it. Well, first thing I want to talk to you about concerning this revelation is the delays in the fall of the United States. We're involved in one right now, folks. The delays in the fall of the United States. Let me explain, okay? Leading up to the year 2000, there were very true dreams, visions, prophecies, revelations, and Bible codes of an imminent pre-tribulation fall of the United States. Too many confirmations for it to be accident, which we don't believe in as Christians anyway, do we? And coincidence, which we don't believe in that either, do we? We believe in a sovereign God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. So this was an imminent pre-tribulation fall of the United States. And Dimitri Dudeman, which was one of the Prophecy Club's, you know, favorite individuals, who was also sharing this warning of an imminent pre-trib fall of the United States. And that's why the dream to Sean was that it was spoken by Dimitri Dudeman. God was giving me a revelation that was going past, or was giving better timing, or newer timing, I should say, to the revelation that God gave to Dimitri, which was very good and very true, you see. So a lot of people received these. And what I want to say that the timing of these prophecies has changed. It did change then, and it's still changing now, okay? God can change or delay what He speaks to you in a warning, either through prophecies or dreams or visions or revelations or just through His Spirit. When there is a delay, or a change, the judgment will ultimately come to pass as and when the Bible says it will. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The word is settled, folks. Prophecy is not that stable because God can change things and he can delay things. But the word is absolutely stable because it is settled. In 2 Peter 1 and 19, we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well to take heed. You know, the word of God is a word of prophecy made more sure. Some people run after prophecy, and that's all they run after. But the truth is, the word of God is much more stable and more sure than any prophecy. Prophecies in many cases are warnings, folks. They're conditional. And you need to remember that before you, judge them very, very quickly in these days. Let me say this, that both Israel and the United States were chosen by God to represent him to the world, but they both fell into apostasy. And in an attempt to bring the righteous among them back to repentance, he appointed beast kingdoms to conquer them. That's right. The seed of all six major beast world kingdoms, which was Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome, these all conquered Israel, amazingly enough. Why these great monstrous kingdoms that ruled the world at their time would have to conquer that little land should, perk your ears up, because there's got to be a God reasoning here, right? Well, these kingdoms are all going to be joined in the end time in a corporate seventh and eighth beast kingdom, which covers the globe. And that is going to be the United Nations Revived Roman Empire with seven heads and ten horns. And the Lord showed me that each of the previous beast kingdoms shows prophetic aspects or revelations of what the last beast kingdom will do. In other words, each one of those is a prophecy. The seven heads, the Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, these seven heads, the seed of all of these kingdoms is in this worldwide revived Roman Empire, UN kingdom, right now. And each one of those is a revelation of it. And we're going to look at a few of these. And they're pretty amazing because there's a lot of revelation of the end time concerning this. Now, I know some people say that the UN is not the end time beast kingdom, but the EU is. And that's just totally wrong, folks. It's just totally wrong. The beast, the image of the beast that Daniel saw, which was from his day all the way to the toes at the end, the EU is trying to put together the Roman Empire back at the thighs instead of down where the ten toes are. And that's not going to work, folks. Daniel said that the toes would be separated by the clay. The iron would be separated by the clay. They'd be separated east and west because the toes were east and west. And we're not talking about the EU anymore. We're talking about the UN. All seven world-ruling empires is in one world-ruling empire today. And the foundation of that is the UN, not the EU. So forget about that. That was a mind of man that made that up. It's a lesser parable of a true greater parable that's going to come to pass in our day. Listen to this. From the time that the northern ten tribes rebelled under Jeroboam and became independent of Judah, one or the other was at war every 17 years for a period of 15 cycles, after which Israel in 690 B.C. and then Judah in 682 B.C. were conquered by the Assyrian beast. From the time the U.S. became independent of Britain, forming the 13 original states, she too has been at war almost every 17 years for a period of 15 cycles until the Granada War in 1983. The strange thing is even the exceptions are common to both of these. The exceptions are common to both. Because the 6th and the 10th cycle, there was no war for Israel or for the United States. That's beyond coincidence, folks. Beyond coincidence. Not possible. Our God is a sovereign God, and He works all things at the counsel of His own will. So from 1983 to 2000 was the next 17 years of a 16th cycle, when Israel and Judah were conquered. But prophetically, Jerusalem was spared. Now, I'm going to share something with you the Lord shared with me, and that is Jerusalem has USA right in the middle of it for a very good purpose. It's a prophecy. If you notice, each had 17-year war cycles, commonly. Even the exceptions were common. That's not possible. The Lord is telling us that there is a parallel between Israel and the United States, very, very clearly. So, during the 16th cycle for the United States, around 1987, the Lord, unbeknownst to myself, the Lord acted out a prophecy through me of a delay in the destruction of the United States. And it happened like this. At the time, I started feeling a lot of pain, and I started passing blood. And I went to the Lord about it. I hadn't been to doctors or taken any medicine in many, many years, because the Lord's always been my healer, because He's a consistent healer. And I know what the Bible says, I know what my rights are, and I claim them. And so the word came to me, cancer. Well, I don't receive that very easily, frankly, but that's the word that came to me. And so I remember I had to make a trip to Louisiana. I went over to Louisiana, and I had a brother that I knew over there that I was going to visit anyway, and I just had him pray for me. And I accepted that prayer as a prayer of faith, and that's the only man that ever prayed for me for it, in this situation. But I came back here, and then I went across town one day to a bookstore that was on the other side of town that I don't normally go to. I normally went to one that was a lot closer to me. But I knew the people over there, and I went over there, and I just walked in the door, and across the room, these two ladies across the room, they both see me, and they both start walking towards me, and I just know they got something to tell me, you know. So these two prayer partners, they told me that they had been praying and that the Lord spoke to them, and that they had been praying for different ministers that they knew, and they prayed for me, and that He had spoke to them, and He told them that, quote, that you were going to have a wrestle with the spirit of cancer, but that you were going to win. Well, they didn't have any idea. Let me tell you, folks, I had not even told my wife about this. Nobody knew. I told nobody. That man in Louisiana is the only man that prayed for me for it, and he didn't tell anybody either. So on my way home, I still wasn't accepting this thing, but on my way home, I said, Lord, when I get home, I'm going to ask You to give me a sign, you know, concerning this thing. Well, you know what? Let me say, first of all, you don't need a sign. If God says, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, then that's what you need to accept. But I asked God for a sign. And I went home and I flipped my Bible open and I stuck my finger down right in the middle of this phrase. It says, thou shalt die and not live. That's where my finger was, right in the middle of that little phrase. That's in 2 Kings 20:1. And I have to tell you that I thought on that for a minute, and I said, well, Lord, this is not according to Your covenant with me. You told me that I was already healed at the cross. You told me that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. You told me never to depart from Your covenant, to believe what You say. And now You're telling me something contrary. I says, Lord, I don't think You want me to accept this. And I don't accept it. In the name of Jesus, I believe I am healed. You taught me that Mark 11:24 is true, that I should believe I have received, and so I believe I'm healed. Well, to make a long story short, this phrase, thou shalt die and not live, was spoken to King Hezekiah at the time Jerusalem, with USA in the middle of it, was spared an invasion in the 16th cycle. Wow, that's awesome. So here I was in the 16th cycle for America, getting the same verse that Hezekiah got when there was a delay in that invasion in their 16th cycle. Pretty amazing. You see, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't add this up until later. I didn't add it up anyway. The Lord gave it to me. But anyway, in the same text, in 19 and 32, it says, thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city nor shoot an arrow there. God delivered Jerusalem with USA in the middle of it in that 16th cycle. So after this, I said to the Lord, I don't accept that verse because it's not according to my covenant. I just felt like the Lord must be trying me because he's never asked me to depart from the word. I've received healing consistently from the Lord. I raised 5 kids. They received healing consistently from the Lord, and I knew he was consistent at his word. And I just wasn't going to depart from his word. I felt like the Lord was trying me. So I said, Lord, I'm asking you to give me another word that's in agreement with your covenant with me. And so I flipped the Bible up and stuck my finger down right in the middle of this phrase. It says, I shall not die, but live. Just exactly the opposite. The only two places in the Bible, Psalm 118 and 17. Can you imagine God's sovereignty to guide your mind, your thoughts, your fingers over the pages to come up to exactly a place like that? God is so sovereign. I tell you, it just gives you great rest to understand this, you know. Well, to make a long story short, I held fast to my faith. The symptoms gradually declined and left. And the Lord, of course, manifested the healing. Well, Hezekiah, in that 16th cycle, he got the same answer. In 2 Kings 20 and 6, he said, And I will add unto thy days 15 years. In other words, God delayed the end. Right there in the text, God delayed the end. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So, the beast was not able to conquer Jerusalem with USA in the middle of it because there was a delay. Very clear. Verse 8, And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up unto the house of the Lord the third day? Hey, notice that, folks. The third day. Third day, the 3,000 years from the last Adam, is what we've come to. He didn't say before the 2,000 years was up that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day. Remember we studied the man-child ministry, how that they're going to be caught up to the throne of God on the third day? Well, here's the sign right here. There was a delay so that this could happen. Awesome. So, it wasn't going to happen before 2000. Since it was delayed, it wasn't before the end of the second day. It was on the third day. You see, the delay is proven in the text. And what happened? The shadow of the sundial went backward 10 steps or degrees, which is what? Delaying the end, obviously. Okay. And at that time, we kind of have a proof of this because Hezekiah, the Romans, the Egyptians, they all changed their calendar from 360 to 365 days a year. Well, 15 years after my healing of that cancer, symptoms returned, but they weren't the symptoms of cancer. They were the symptoms of, I would say, since I'm not a doctor, I can't really say this, but cardiovascular disease. And the reason I say that is because I was getting cold on my right side. I was couldn't stay warm. Felt like my circulation wasn't working very good. I sat and read the Bible all day long, so you can imagine how much exercise I got. But so my heart was acting up on me. And this happened 15 years after the first thing. And suddenly this revelation came over me. Wait a minute. Hezekiah was given 15 years. Lord, are you saying to me that you've given, that part of the prophecy was for me too? That you've given me 15 years and now my time is up? Is that what you're saying? And you know what the Lord said? Yes, that is true. Not on top of that, there were 3 dreams given in our assembly at that time, right there at that time, that I died of a heart attack. But you know what, folks? I got to thinking about this, and I thought, well, Lord, if it didn't honor you that I didn't accept that back then, 15 years ago, it doesn't honor you today. I'm still holding fast to the confession of my hope. I'm still accepting what Jesus did for me, that he took the curse off of me and it was put upon him. I was healed by his stripes. So, to make another long story short, This is exactly what happened. I claimed it. I held fast to it. And I got the healing. Pretty astounding. So that's a second delay after 15 years. Second delay. So let me point a little bit more of the story out to you. Both Joel and Amos likened the Assyrian invasion. We're talking about a beast invasion of God's people. A beast invasion of Israel. A beast invasion of Jerusalem. Right? That was the beast of their day, right? So both Joel and Amos likened this beast invasion to a locust invasion in the scriptures. And like Joel pointed out, that they would burn the land. Well, you know, locusts don't burn land. They eat it, right? So, but he was talking about locusts as a great army, like the locusts, so great for number, you know. And Joel called this time the latter rain in his book, and Amos in his book called it the latter growth. And through the intercession of both Joel and Amos, the threatened invasion was delayed. Amos in chapter 7, 1 through 6 says, "Thus the Lord showed me, and behold, he formed the locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth." So the locusts, being the Assyrian army, was coming to attack his people at the time, the growth being his people. "When they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee. How shall Jacob stand? For he is small." In other words, Lord, your people couldn't hold up to this at this time. You know, they're not mature enough. And the Lord listened to this reasoning, and he said, "It shall not be, saith the Lord." And there was a delay in the attack on Jerusalem from the Assyrian beast. That's your first delay right there. And then Amos goes on. "The Lord called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and would have eaten up the land. Then said I, O Lord, cease, I beseech thee. How shall Jacob stand? For he is small. This also shall not be, says the Lord." And we have a second delay in the beast attack. The third time was the judgment, which God would not delay. And it goes like this. "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand." The wall in the scripture represents sanctification. It means separation from the world. You know, without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord, or holiness. It's the same word in the Greek and the New Testament, same word. "So the Lord stood beside a wall which represented sanctification, and he measured it with a plumb line." And of course, a plumb line tells you the truth according to the law, which is the law of gravity, that is. So what God was doing was he was measuring his people according to his word. In other words, not by grace, but by what thus saith the Lord. "Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore." Meaning, of course, the time is up. They've had their time to bear fruit. We're going to measure them according to the word and see if they've borne that fruit. Jesus said 30, 60, and 100 fold. And in other words, there's no more delays. So you see in Amos' revelation here, two delays of the Assyrian beast against his people. And a third where there was no delay. It was the end, okay? Well, about this time, when I was getting this revelation, somebody put a book in my hand by Anna Roundtree. And one of the first things I found in the book, didn't get to read the whole book, just flipped it open and I saw this. And it was right in agreement with what the Lord was showing me. Anna had a vision in her book, The Heavens Opened. And the Lord said to her, "Look," and he gestured towards the ground in front of us, I quote, "within the sheepfold, the area opened to reveal the world spinning some distance beneath us. And as I looked at the globe, I heard huge footsteps. The Lord and Anna were sitting up in heaven, and the clouds parted, and they looked down at the earth spinning, and she saw the sheepfold. Okay? And she said she heard these huge footsteps as if giants were walking and shaking the earth. Well, I knew what the giants were because the Lord had shown me that at this particular time, when God was no longer going to delay judgment, and he was bringing this judgment, this third time, this judgment, that God was going to divide the nations. He said he was going to divide Babylon into three in Revelation. And he showed me that that was represented the king of the north, the kings of the east, and the king of the south. It was a division of the United Nations. A civil war in the midst of the United Nations. That's what the Lord showed me. We're going to study this a little more intricately later. But right now, I just want to point this out. That at the time when he was about to measure the sheepfold, that the earth was being shaken by these great giants that were walking around. And that, of course, is the nations falling out with one another. It goes on to say, the ground of the earth trembled, and the mountains began to break apart. Heaven opened, and I saw a weighted plumb line drop from heaven through the sheepfold to the earth. As the plumb line reached earth, fire came out of heaven and traveled the plumb line, passing before us and sweeping down the line to the earth. In other words, the plumb line was going right down through the middle of the sheepfold. He was measuring his people to see if they measured up. Suddenly, the whole world was aflame. Fire traveled the plumb line through the sheepfold, and the whole world was on fire. You know, the United States will ultimately fall in a last world war, folks. Not pre-trib at all. And I'm going to prove that to you even more as we go along. But the time when God figures, well, you've had enough time, you've had your tribulation, now comes the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he measures them to see who's worthy to go in the ark, basically, and who's worthy to go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. Amos chapter 8, in verse 2, he reiterates what he said before. He said, I will not again pass by them anymore. The dead bodies shall be many and in every place. And in verse 9 he says, in that day, saith the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And all the sinners of God's people, chapter 9 and verse 10, all the sinners of God's people will die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. You know, folks, there's coming a day when God is through, you know, sanctifying his people. And if they don't measure up, they're going into this terrible day of the Lord. They're not going to be in the ark. They're going through the flood, basically. And at that time, all of the sinners of God's people will die by the sword. He means that. There are worldly people that will live through the day of the Lord. But the wicked Christians, as we call them loosely, they will not. They will not live through the day of the Lord. God has said this over and over through the Old Testament. He's not lying about this. The harlot is going to be devoured by the beast, destroyed by the beast. And they'll be saying in that day the same thing they're saying in this day. The evil will not overtake nor meet us. Peace and prosperity, right? Peace and safety. We're all going to fly away. Oh no, it's not going to be that way, folks. That's a lie. But the judgment on America has been delayed, and it will be delayed again this year. I'm going to continue to prove that to you, so stick with me. You know, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. In other words, history only repeats. You know, the U.S. has been in a war. It was, you know, up until that Granada War. It had been in a war every 17 years for 15 cycles. And now, we're seeing that after two delays, the plumb line judgment will come. In other words, the ultimate judgment, the end judgment that decides whose saints are in the ark and who are not, who's going through the day of the Lord. Now, I want to say that that judgment is going to be nuclear holocaust. It's going to be a beast invasion of the United States. And it's going to be a world war. It's going to be a terrible devastation to the United States and the world. Because the giants that are moving around and throwing their missiles, they're going to destroy the world as we now know it. Of course, a lot of things are going to lead up to that. A lot of judgments are going to lead up to that. And we're not talking about those judgments. We're talking about the fall of the United States. We're not talking about the gradual fall. We're talking about the ultimate fall of the United States. You know, a lot of things are going to happen between here and there that are going to weaken the United States for this war. But what I'm talking about here is the fall of the United States. You know, the Bible Code by Michael Drosnin accurately showed World War II. He found a code that said 1939, World War, A. Hitler. I'm just pointing that out to you because there's others predicted there that haven't happened yet. He found another code that said Atomic Holocaust, World War, and these were encoded for the year 5760, which is what we normally call 2000, and 5766, which is what we normally call September of 2006. Now, the dates overlap a little bit because the months overlap between their year and our year. And, of course, there's 2 years there. There's the Jewish year, and also there is the biblical year that most people don't know about, which starts in the spring instead of the fall. Okay, but basically he's saying that a world war was scheduled for 2000 and 2006. Atomic Holocaust, World War, 2000, 2006. And then it was found, written in with World War, the word delay. Delay, 2000 and 2006, World War. Do I think we got a world war coming? I certainly do, but I don't think it's the one he's talking about here. 2000 and 2006 are encoded with, I will delay the war. In the plain text of the Bible, everywhere end of days appears, delayed appears in the hidden code. It's not a chance, folks, that's an accident. Not a chance. Every place end of days appears, delayed appears in the hidden code. And Russia, China and USA all appear with world war. We're talking about a war between the superpowers here that was delayed in 2000 and will be delayed in 2006. Now, don't get me wrong. Before the fall of the United States, we're going to see nuclear and biological terrorism. And some of it is going to be covertly supported by, I believe, wholeheartedly, Russia and China. Matter of fact, the Lord revealed that to me in a vision. They're just weakening America for this final war, this plumb bob war, when God is saying, it's enough, we're not going any longer, we're going to judge by the word. And many millions are going to die. But leading up to that war, which has been delayed, it was delayed in 2000. It was delayed in 2006. Leading up to that war, we are going to have wars. And I'm going to explain that to you because the delay is significant. It was delayed so that it would be in agreement with what the Word of God says. Something is beginning in 2006, folks. When is this delay going to ultimately happen? That's what I want to talk to you about. In July of 96, I saw the United States in a vision as Nineveh, which was the head of the Assyrian beast. In my vision, I was standing over the Gulf of Mexico, high up in the air over the Gulf of Mexico, and I was facing north. I was looking at the United States spread out before me, and I could see it very well, as you can in a vision like this, with the Lord's help. And I saw, stretched out over the top of America, a veil, like a sheet that was stretched out through the sky above America. And I looked up above this veil, and I saw a gigantic bomb hanging over America. And this bomb was hanging from a string with a bow knot in it. In other words, God was trying to impress me with what a precarious situation America was in at that time. Okay? And when I looked down from that bomb and I looked back at America, America had changed. It no longer was just what America was. It had changed into water. And around the outside of America, there was a wall, kind of like you would see on an above-ground type swimming pool. And so America was enclosed with this wall, and there was water on the inside, and all through the water were swimming fish. So these fish were in this enclosure. Now Nineveh is the Hebrew word for the Assyrian word Ninua. That's the name for Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And it's written in a cuneiform sign of a fish within an enclosure. In other words, what God was showing me at the time, although at that time in 96 I didn't know it, he was showing me that Nineveh was the United States in prophecy. Clearly, Nineveh is a prophetic type of the United States. As Nineveh was the head of a world-ruling Assyrian beast kingdom, so the United States is the head over a UN world beast kingdom, which will ultimately be destroyed by her. As Nineveh's judgment was delayed in Jonah's time, so has the judgment of the United States been delayed in our time. As there was a delay for Assyria, so there was for the United States. Well, like many prophet warnings that we have received in the United States, Jonah cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And of course, we know that Jonah wasn't a false prophet. And I'll tell you that we heard a lot of prophets prophesy before the year 2000. Things that were just like this, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." But they weren't false prophets either. I know for a fact. Many of them got a real bum rap from people because things didn't happen the way they said. But they didn't realize that this delay was in the offing. Well, Nineveh repented and God delayed the judgment. And elect people in the United States did repent. America's never going to repent, but elect people in the United States did repent before the year 2000. But that wasn't the real reason that God delayed. I believe Amos's revelation gives us the real reason, and that is, "How shall Jacob stand, for he is small?" God's people weren't mature enough for a world war to come, and the elect be spared through it, and so on and so forth. So Jonah actually fled from warning Nineveh because Amos, Joel, and Micah had prophesied that Nineveh, at the head of the Assyrian beast, would conquer God's people. In other words, his people. And would bring them into bondage during a great tribulation period. So he was very patriotic towards his own people, and he wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. He did not. He knew God was merciful. He told him so. He knew he was going to repent, and that's why he didn't want to go. That's what he said. In the same way, the United States over the UN beast is prophesied to bring the saints into the bondage of the fish enclosure during the tribulation. In other words, why did God spare America these judgments at the time he did? Well, the reason he did that was that America has a job to do. The same job that Babylon and that Assyria and that these other beast kingdoms had. It was to bring God's people into bondage. That's what the fish enclosure represents. You remember how that the saints back in years past used the fish as a symbol? You know, Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." Well, I saw America as Nineveh. I saw the fish enclosure. They were in bondage in America. The U.S. over the U.N. is going to bring the saints into bondage before this judgment. So, after conquering God's people and crucifying their flesh in tribulation, then Nineveh, as a type of the U.S., fell, just as the prophet Nahum later prophesied. In other words, the invasion and the destruction of Nineveh, as a type of the United States, was delayed from before the tribulation of the saints to after the tribulation of the saints. Very clear in prophecy here, folks. If you've been following me, you can see that. There are people today that don't believe that this swap has actually happened. They are still predicting the pre-tribulation attack on America by Russia and China. Well, they're doing it, but they're doing it covertly. It's not going to be an all-out nuclear war on this end of the tribulation period. They're doing it covertly. They're using the Arabs behind the scenes to weaken America for this war that we see that's coming. We know that a delay doesn't mean a delete, right? Many of the pre-tribulation warnings will still come to pass, but they're just not going to come to pass in their original timing. Many of the things that were going to come to pass pre-tribulation are going to happen in the tribulation and after the tribulation, just like it was with Jonah's prophecy. Exactly the same. History just repeats, folks. If you can find it in history and you know who the symbol of America is, then you can solve the puzzle. The Lord showed me in Nineveh's case that Nineveh represented the head of a world beast kingdom, and America now represents the head of a world beast kingdom. God spared Nineveh so they could bring God's people into bondage. God spared America so America could bring God's people into bondage. What's the purpose of this? The purpose is crucifixion. God's people were rebellious, and he needed a beast kingdom to bring them to their cross. And we're in the same situation now, folks. God's people are in every kind of rebellion imaginable. And God is raising up a worldwide beast to bring God's people to their cross. By the way, 2000 and 2006 are also encoded with the word Armageddon. Wow, Armageddon is that war that happens at the end of the tribulation period. Right? At the end of the 7 years. Since the tribulation hasn't started yet, Armageddon and the fall of the United States is put off until probably at least 2013 or 2014. So again, we see that this great war that people are expecting again, and that some people are prophesying it again in these days, in 2006, the particular war we're talking about between Russia, China, America, and the whole world, actually, is not going to happen for another 7 years plus. This Nineveh U.S. connection was made plain to me in September of 1998. I know I had it in 96, but I didn't understand it. I mean, I saw that America was under a great threat. I saw the bomb up there. I knew that we were in danger. I prayed. You know, leading up to the year 2000, many got revelations about the judgment on America. But I didn't see the Nineveh connection, the fish enclosure. You know, it's funny. I had it written in my Bible because I had written in my Bible what the word Nineveh meant. It meant a fish enclosure. It was the cuneiform sign was of a fish inside of an enclosure. It's just that the Lord wasn't permitting the connection in my mind until he wanted it to happen. So in 1998, in September of 98, the Lord showed me that America was Nineveh and that just as Nineveh was delayed, America would be delayed, the judgment. You know, at that time in our assembly, we received three dream confirmations of this revelation that I'm telling you about. We had a lady here who had a dream that she was standing by the seawall at the Navy base, which is right here in Pensacola, Florida, and she saw a huge bomb falling over the water because the water represents the peoples of this area, right? Like Revelation. She saw a huge bomb falling over the water and everybody was just terrified, but the bomb just stopped a few feet above the water and stayed there. And obviously we knew that this was a confirmation of the delay revelation that the Lord had been giving me. And another lady saw a red car start running down a hill and someone whom she thought was Jesus got in and turned the key off and stopped the car before it crashed at the bottom. Another delay. strange thing was that later the car started all by itself without the key and continued on down the hill and smashed. Obviously, the Lord was pointing out that that was a car that was in rebellion to its owner. And we know who the owner is, don't we? You know, the Lord owns the nations. They belong to Him, especially His nation of Israel, that's His New Testament spiritual Israel that's spread out throughout the world. This is His nation, and they belong to Him. But, you know, in rebellion to the Lord, the nations are heading towards a great disaster. Well, I was silenced by the Lord from September of 98 to September of 99, the Lord told me, don't tell people this. I suspected it was because He wanted the threat to sink in very well with His people, that they were in grave danger. And many dreams, visions, and prophecies went forth all over the nation. People all over the world were having these dreams and revelations of a nuclear war, an imminent pre-trib nuclear war, which was not going to happen. But it did bring some people to repentance, just like the warning that Jonah gave to Nineveh. It did bring some people to repentance. So he silenced me until September of 99. At that time, he told me to go and tell the prophets. And I did. I wrote an article about the delay of the destruction of the United States, and I sent it to on the internet to many prophets that I was connected with or knew about or got their address or whatever. I sent it out to them. And, you know, I got word back from so many that thanked me, that they saw it. I don't think I got one negative. It was surprising to me because, you know, to get the prophets to all agree on something, you know, it's just strange. But it was surprising to me. I didn't get any negative letters back. They were all saying the only ones that I did get back were positive. They saw it. They knew it was true. And they were relieved in some cases. But in some cases, of course, they felt kind of like Jonah, like the Lord had let them down. Here they were diligently prophesying to the people to bring them to some kind of repentance. And they were disappointed because their prophecies didn't come to pass. Can you imagine? Well, you think about Jonah and Nineveh. I mean, the most important thing is that the people hear and repent, not that your prophecy comes to pass, right? Well, I know that a lot of these people were blamed, you know, and called false prophets because their prophecies didn't manifest. But the truth is, they brought some repentance. And these people were, from the revelation the Lord gave me, these people were telling the truth. And it was from God. And I praise God for what they did. At the same time, in September of 99, the Lord told me that Y2K will be nothing. That's what He said to me. Y2K will be nothing. And as you know, it was nothing. You know, and that was like a confirmation too. You know, the neat thing is that God will tell people that it's delayed before it comes to pass. Because then the false prophet doesn't look like a false prophet because he's giving the revelation before it's actually supposed to happen. And that was a good relief from the Lord and a good blessing to the people of God. But so many of them were feeling just like Jonah, you know, like the Lord did put them in this situation to be called false prophets. Well, God's been merciful. He was merciful in 2000. He's going to be merciful in 2006. You say, how can that be? Because we can see these things coming. Yes, great judgments are going to come upon the world and upon America in 2006. But they're not the one I'm talking about here, nor the one the Bible code is talking about, nor the one that will bring the fall of America. The great nuclear war, a civil war in the midst of a one world order beast that is going to bring devastation to America and the nations. It's not that one. We are going to see a war that's going to bring the nations to decide they need the one world order in the first place. Now, that war is, yes, there will be nuclear weapons, and there will be biological weapons, and there will be things like that happen. But this is not the Russia-China thing. God bless you, saints. Be blessed.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.